Well, hello there, and welcome to Bantering the Blue Shirts. It is 8:16 on 9:18, and you're joined by your boys, Joe Fortunato and Michael Murphy.
Your boys.
And guess what? We have hockey to talk about.
Oh, my God.
Actual, it happened hockey.
Not Traverse City, not baby hockey.
It's like a toddler hockey.
Yeah, it's daycare hockey.
Daycare.
There are adults and babies there.
Yes, daycare hockey. The New York Rangers played the New Jersey Devils in a riveting 4-2-3 overtime victory where our good friend Neil Pionk, Neil Pionk scored a game-winning goal in overtime to open the preseason for the second year in a row, which has to feel pretty cool.
Yeah, that's a pretty good start.
Yeah,
for him.
They're both pretty
good.
He had
a couple of goofy plays earlier, but you know, there's a lot of rust all around. But yeah, Pionk, it was a beautiful pass by Booch, and I think the Devils were technically a split squad, but they were playing Taylor Hall, so I'll take it.
Yeah, I was actually a little... Well, let me ask you this question, Michael. This was our first opportunity to get a look at the way that David Quinn is going to be behind the bench. What were some of your thoughts on the Boston boy?
The Rangers had a too many men on the ice penalty. That's bad coaching. That means he's failed at his job already. But seriously, I liked that he kept giving guys ice time after they goofed. It is the preseason, and so, you know, you would expect a coach to do that, but it was still encouraging to see that he was giving everyone a pretty long leash. Like I mentioned, Pionk had a pretty goofy turnover earlier in the game, and then he was out there as one of the guys trusted to be on the ice for overtime. And he was able to, you know, cash in on that goal, and it was a pretty physical game. The Rangers had McLeod in the lineup. You know, I was very pleased in particular with Elias Andersson's ice time. You know, it was really like that game was more or less like the Elias Andersson show. And that was something that was really kind of happy with, is getting to see him get that much ice time. And I think he had something like 19 minutes. And yeah, I don't know. Overall, I was pretty pleased with how Quinn managed the game. There was a lot of great cuts to him shaking his head, because Joe, there are so many penalties.
And I feel like there was a game. So last year, the NHL instituted their slashing penalty, that they were being more rigid with the way that they were calling those penalties. Yeah. And there was like 4 trillion penalties in the first game. And this kind of felt like that without any of the change in the rules. It felt like every other minute a Ranger was in the box, and then towards the end, the Rangers kind of caught up in terms of power plays. You know, the Elias Andersson show, I mean, here's the thing. I'm going to tell you that the guys who should have stood out, because they're veterans of this team now, Buchnevich was a monster. Kevin Hayes played really well. I thought Chris Kreider was fine. All of those things are great, right? The guys that need to prove that they belong, the Elias Andersons of the world, he could not have had a better first game. I thought Anthony DeAngelo had a really good first game, and I thought Neil Pionk had a really good game as well. I'm not sure what's going to happen with the Pionk-DeAngelo kind of battle, if you will. Pionk got more minutes. He got way more penalty kill time. He got 7 minutes of penalty kill time, actually, more than anyone else. So I think that played a major role. But DeAngelo got 5 minutes on the power play. So you're kind of seeing Pionk is, I think, a little bit more of a two-way guy. DeAngelo actually brings quite a bit more offense. I don't know if you can hear my daughter. She's taking a bath, and she's loving it. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what happens there. We're going to get a look at McQuaid tonight, if you're listening to this on Wednesday when we release it, and we'll see. I mean, I love the idea of like earning a spot, but I really would have liked to see both of them, and maybe we will still see both of them. But yeah, Quinn did a really good job with the time on ice for the most part. All the defensemen.
I don't think we do get to see McQuaid tonight.
I thought he was in the lineup. No?
I don't think so, no.
No, I'm an idiot. Ruin the podcast.
Don't say that about
You know, Pionk played the most minutes of any defenseman, followed by Clayson, then it was DeAngelo, Stahl and Lindgren kind of backed up, and they were riding the back of the bus. Buchnevich got 17 minutes. Anderson got 19 minutes. A lot of that was because of his penalty kill time. Buchnevich didn't play anything on the penalty kill.
I have a question for you.
Shoot.
Do we know why Michael Lindqvist didn't play in the first period?
All right, so I was going to talk about that. I think... Oh, all right. Is there anything else you want to say on...
I like
the people we know about. Oh, yeah. Fast too. Fast had an outstanding game. Honest to God, I thought Buchnevich was one of the most noticeable just because of what he did. His goal was a rocket. His assist on the game-winning goal was like a thing of beauty. That does not happen if Fast doesn't make the play against the boards, the defensive play to get the puck back and make the pass to him. I thought Hayes was great. Like I said, Kreider was the least noticeable of the forwards that were in that definitely going to make the team category. But again, that's not a shot at him. They're just a lot of guys were playing really well. So Cody McLeod was Cody McLeod. I mean, he did exactly what you kind of expected. He had 7 minutes on 7 minutes and 30 seconds.
Which I thought was good, especially when we're trying to evaluate Quinn giving McLeod just that 7:37 and,
you know, no key moments either. He wasn't on the ice late.
Closer, he was on the ice a lot less often. He only played a minute and 30 seconds.
Didn't do anything to protect Baby Nieves. So
didn't protect Nieves from.
We can get into that in a little bit. The main battle that I was really interested in seeing outside of Pionk and D'Angelo was the Meskinen-Lindqvist battle.
Oh, yeah.
And Meskinen looked like somebody who has played professional hockey, which he has in Finland, and is just crushing his Traverse City tournament first showing. And I thought he looked great for what he is. He wasn't one of the most impact players on the ice. He obviously had a couple of turnovers, but for the most part, I noticed Meskinen a lot in really good ways. And he played 13 minutes. He had 2 minutes on the power play. Lindqvist, so he played less than 7 minutes, but Karp made a note in his review for The Athletic that they showed zero time on ice in the first period, and he didn't know if that was accurate, and I don't know if that was accurate.
Yeah, I'm looking at the NHL.com box scores.
That's what I'm looking at.
Yeah, it says he had 7 shifts in the second, 3 in the third, and none in the first, which is peculiar, but then again, like it's not like a nice NHL.com box score. You can only really look at the HTML reports right now.
But he was not good. In the time that he was on the ice, he took 2 penalties. I mean, listen, Lindqvist, it was going to have the tougher transition between the two because Lindqvist is a pure goal scorer. And it's harder to find those soft areas of the ice in the NHL than it is in the SHL. But I thought he was going to force the issue and make the Rangers make a decision between him and Meskinen to get that longer look in camp. And I'm going to be completely honest with you, I'm a little shocked Lindqvist wasn't one of the cuts today. That's how bad I think he was.
I agree. Like, I know early on when we were talking about these two guys and, you know, in the article I wrote, I identified Meskinen as the guy who I think is closer to being ready now. Because the other thing with Lindqvist is that he's one-dimensional, right? But then when he was trying to engage in the physical game last night, he's small, too. And that's... So, you know, he's very much that just kind of one-sided player right now. And that's not bad, especially for a guy who has a shot like he does. But like you said, he has to find those areas. And that's tough to do going from European to North American ice. Again, it's one preseason game. I'm really not worried. I'm glad he wasn't among the cuts because I feel like he deserves another look, especially...
Yeah,
based
I would agree
on what
with that.
He did in the Swedish league last year. I'm not too concerned, but it is. I mean, if we're comparing those two guys directly, it's Meskinen by, you know, a mile right now.
It was great. And if I said to you, gun to your head, you have to pick one of D'Angelo and Pionk after that one game, you would say.
I would say D'Angelo right
now. I would too. I think we're taking for granted how good D'Angelo looked before he got hurt last year. And I think he realizes that this is his last shot. I think having a guy like Quinn, who is his specialty is working with defensive players, I think this is an opportunity for him to kind of resurrect his career, if you will. And let's be honest, this is the absolute last stop on the bus, right? This is it. And I thought that was a great first showing for him. I also want to say, and I should have mentioned it back when we were talking about Quinn, this was, I quote tweeted a story in Larry Brooks' article this morning that he kind of pulled Anderson aside to have a conversation with him and said, you know, he's only 19. He has to understand that, you know, he has to go out and do his thing and not worry about the expectations. All throughout the game, Quinn was up and down the bench. He was talking to his players, patting guys on the shoulder. He was in Buchnevich's ear. He was talking about how he was playing better. We never saw that with Vigneault. And I think it's, you know, by design, because Vigneault is very much laissez-faire, and I don't want this to turn into the Vigneault bash hour, because we've done that for 3 years. But it's very refreshing to see a coach who is actively involved behind the bench, and not just every view of him is this stoic, you know, either yelling at the guys as a whole or just standing there chewing gum. You're seeing a guy who's moving in and out. He's talking to the guys.
Coaching, which is...
Yes. Well, not even that, but encouraging, like making... You know what I mean? But maybe coaching is right, because, again, we have not really heard a single, like, oh, we're going to miss that guy from any of the players. And it just seems like Quinn already has a better feel of the locker room than Vigneault ever did. And I it's very refreshing to see. Seeing Quinn behind the bench was really cool.
Nice,
and it was,
eyes.
You know, it's been a long time coming.
Steely blue eyes.
He does have, like, very Girardi-like blue eyes.
Yeah, he does. Very Dan
Girardi
eyes.
That's very super Dan Girardi. So Nieves took a hit, a very hard hit to the corner, hit to the head. He has a concussion confirmed by the New York Rangers. Again, there was really no response from... McLeod. I think Quinn mentioned after the game that he had a conversation with the team. You know, he said it was more important that we won the game, but, you know, there could have been some form of retribution. And then he added that he doesn't want the Rangers to be the Broad Street Bullies, which makes me happy, because I think it's absolutely stupid to respond that way. But, you know, I think first look, I don't know if Nieves was going to make the team out of camp. I think he had a shot simply because that fourth line center spot might be open, but I really think Anderson is going to force the conversation into, they're going to put him in the top nine so that he can go on the wing and maybe alternate between 3C and 3W, or are they going to put him on the 4C? And once that decision's been made, if that 4C slot was open, I think Nieves was going to be one of the favorites for it. And obviously with the concussion, that really hurts his chances. And it's unfortunate, because I do think Nieves is a good player. I think he's kind of a perfect player for that position, but it's a tough thing to see, you know?
Yeah, it sucks, especially because he's a guy who really didn't get much of a fair shake, you know, during his tenure as a Rangers prospect. We know last year we talked about, you know, why not Nieves getting a call-up when, you know, they're grabbing guys on waivers, trying to find center depth, and they have this guy who, you know, has been a part of the organization, and so it didn't really matter what happened in Hartford last season, but he was never given that fair shake. And yeah, you know, the odds were stacked against him for that 4C role, especially with Lias and what he did last night. But yeah, it's not good to see it. I saw a couple of, you know, dumb tweets and comments about it doesn't matter anyway because he's not very good. But I mean, if you're the sort of hockey fan who says those things, I don't have a lot of time for you. That's all.
They're humans, Michael. Humans.
They're human beings.
They're people. They're peeps.
Yeah, he's a young guy who wants desperately to play in the NHL, and, you know, he's, like you said, he's good enough right now to be a fourth-line center in the NHL, and I don't know if he'll ever be anything more than that, but that doesn't really matter, because he's a guy who's paid his dues in the AHL. He's done everything he's supposed to do. He's a big body. He's got good hands. He understands the game. And to have him come away with a concussion here when he has a history of them is not good. It's just not good. So it's a shame. And obviously we hope that Nieves bounces back, but isn't rushed back for sure.
Speaking of shames, the Rangers trimmed their roster by 8. They made their first round of cuts.
Yeah.
Brandon Halvorsen, Dawson Liedl, Chris Nell, Vince Pedry, Nico Gross were all assigned to the Wolfpack. In Nico Gross's case, he was assigned to the Oshawa Generals. Mm-hmm. Jeremy Brodeur, son of Marty Fatso Brodeur, was released from his PTO.
We can be better than that.
No, not for Brodeur. Sean Day and Ty Ronning were also among the cuts, which I think was a little surprising. We're not going to talk about any of the other cuts because they're honestly inconsequential, and I don't think anybody even knew half of those players were on the team. But in the case of Day and Ronning, it is a little surprising. I'm curious what your thoughts are on that, Michael.
Yeah, in the case of Day and Ronning, like before the show, we briefly talked, and it's not like it's a surprise that they're in Hartford already, but because that's kind of where we knew they would end up. I think the real surprise here is that they didn't get, you know, the preseason game. Neither of them was in the lineup last night, or were in the lineup last night. And, you know, there's been a lot of buzz about Ty Ronning maybe being a dark horse. A lot of people like him as kind of a guy who could, you know, he's an undersized guy coming off of an amazing year last year in the CHL. And, you know, what he can do at the AHL level is something we're definitely keeping an eye on, because he might be a late round pick that turns into an NHL player, really. That's how good he's been thus far in juniors. And to see him get cut without getting a look is kind of a bummer, frankly. And, you know, I was on TSN 1260 in Edmonton, the Low Tide show, and I was asked about Sean Day in particular because of, you know, the exemption status and how kind of intriguing and kind of mystifying he is as a prospect. And, you know, he's another guy where, you know, on that show I talked about he has a tough job kind of carving out a role for himself in the organization because of how invested the Rangers are in defensive prospects now. It's really easy for him to kind of get lost in the mix here. And for him to end up straight in Hartford after we heard a couple of encouraging things about how he was in the best shape of his career is something that, you know, I think Gordy Clark or Jeff Gorton said when we were looking at the prospects camp. And, you know, I was hoping to maybe get a look at him in preseason. And again, maybe, I don't know, Joe, do you feel it's premature that they got sent down or not quite?
I would say more in the case of Ronning than Day. Let me start with Day and just say that I think everybody in the world knew Day was not making the team out of camp. I don't think that's a surprise. I don't think it's anything that even Sean Day would be surprised about. Is it unfortunate that he did not get a look in at least the preseason game? I would say yes. But I think the Rangers, listen, Sean Day is a guy who admittedly puts a lot of pressure on himself. When he had his issues in juniors, it was because he had the exemptional status, more because of his size than his skill. And that kind of weighed on him, and he wasn't really sure, you know, what he could do. And I think the Rangers are being very cautious with him for the right reasons, in terms of just making sure that there's not too much pressure on him. And to ensure that there's not too much pressure on him, I think they want him to get acclimated with Hartford because that's where he's going to be. He may even be in the ECHL, to be completely honest with you, because the Rangers do have a logjam of defensemen that they're dealing with. So with that said, am I surprised he didn't get a game? Yes, but I do see the long-term benefits of a guy who was 100% not making the New York Rangers. Why keep him around? I'm sure the Rangers coaching staff had a conversation with him and explained the situation to him and told him that they want him to get comfortable in Hartford so he can be up in the NHL. I don't think this is one of those, we're just sending him down and we'll see what happens type of deals. And I think it's the right call. I think I referred to Day as being in the slow cooker as a prospect, and I stand by that. I think the Rangers are going to take their time. They're aware that he's an enormous project. At this point, I think some of the luster is kind of worn off, but there's still a quality NHL defenseman in there. And they just need to make sure that they're getting the best out of him. Ronning, you and I have had a discussion about this before. I think we're both in agreement that if Ty Ronning scores 20 goals in the AHL this year, it's an enormous win for him and for the Rangers.
Yeah.
And he wasn't going to make the team either. The Rangers have a slew of wingers. You know, there's no real concerns, if you will, about I don't necessarily want to say a concern, but he's not going to make the team. He may as well get himself acclimated. Am I surprised that he didn't see a preseason game? Yes. But I also think it's somewhat cruel in the sense that if Quinn has specific players that he either wants to take a harder look at or he wants to see if there's something more he can get out of them. And I'm including Meskinen in this and Lindquist, who, you know, we were surprised wasn't cut. I think he wants to see what he can do with Nemestikov and Spooner in comparison to where he's going to put Hedl and Anderson, whether or not they're in the center or on the wing. I think there's a lot of things that go into this. Why keep running around if you're not going to play him? And I get it. He had 60 goals in the WHL last year, plus 61? Actually, I think he had 61. You're talking about a guy who did really incredible things, but at some point you need to make the realization. I think a lot of people think, oh, this is a bona fide 25-goal scorer in the NHL, and like, just let's pump the brakes. Let's let him develop. He's 21. He's not a spring chicken, but he's also, you know, not at the point where you have to start worrying about that. Let him develop in Hartford, and let's see what we get out of it. So, disappointing, yes. I'm not surprised. And again, I think the Rangers ultimately made the right decision.
Yeah, I feel you on that. These are both, like, Ronning is, like you said, going to be 21 on October 20th. So, he'll be, you know, 21 this season, effectively, in Hartford. And Sean Day is 20. So, it's asking a lot for a seventh-round pick who is a forward, who's 5'9" to make the jump from, you know, the WHL to the NHL, even if he's playing, you know, as a role player on the fourth line. And the same is true for Sean Day, especially with all the traffic on that Rangers blue line, which I have a story about that coming up tomorrow or today if you're listening to the podcast.
Yeah, I don't think anybody listens on Tuesday, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, you know, Joe,
because we record on Tuesday, Michael. It's the way that it goes. Son of a bitch. Anything else you want to talk about before we get into Mike's trivia question jamboree extravaganza?
No, I think we covered it. We talked about the cuts. We talked about Boo. Was there anything else from the preseason game?
No, I don't think so. I guess the only other thing I could say, did Georgiev do anything for you in any way?
Meh.
Yeah, I thought he was fine. Fine. There's nothing he could do about the first goal, and I think he may have liked to have the second goal back, but I mean,
yeah.
You know, I for a guy who I think we're all in agreement is pretty much locked into that, you know.
The two power play goals, he wasn't in net for both of them, I think, but he was in net for the Quinville power play goal. And like you said, that first goal, the Lampen goal, I'm not holding that against him either. So
no, he got that shot was ripped through.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to the Jamboree. Now, we've kind of changed the rules a little bit of the Jamboree because we realized that maybe, just maybe, it's not the best thing in the world if we ask a question and the whole group is just sitting there going, So, to make up for that, we've come up with a new strategy. I have 5 questions. Michael has 5
Shana
questions.
Came up with a new strategy.
Yeah. Well, I'm actually modifying it a little bit from Shana's idea. Because Shayna's idea is that you ask, like, me a question against Shayna, and then if I don't get it right, well, whatever. This way, because it's just me and Mike, I'm going to ask Mike a question. If he gets it right, he gets a point. I'm not awarding penalties unless that could be the tiebreaker, I guess, whoever got more questions wrong.
Sure.
And then Mike will ask me a question, and we'll go back and forth.
All right.
You ready for this, son of a bitch? You want to start with your question first?
No, let's start with yours. You seem very aggressive. You called me a son of a bitch twice.
I do. Now, I don't know if I made these questions too difficult.
Oh.
But I think I have a good... I think I have one of them is very hard. I think. You're probably going to get it right away. Here's question number one.
Yep.
I am talking about goals scored as a New York Ranger in a single season.
Gotcha.
Who had more? Zibanejad, Kreider, or Grabner?
Grabner.
You are incorrect, sir.
Okay.
Kreider had 28. Grabner and Zibanejad both had 27.
Oh, fair enough. But you notice what I did, Joe? I answered quickly, and I didn't delay.
I also gave you multiple choice, Michael.
That's true.
The three answers were laid out in front of you. You had a 33% chance of getting it correctly.
That's fine. Is it my turn to ask you a question?
It is your turn. It is 0-0.
Who scored the most shootout goals for the Rangers last season?
Zuccarello.
That is correct, Joe. Zuccarello scored four of his seven attempts. Zibanejad scored three of his seven.
Ooh, see, I was debating between Zibanejad and Grabner as my you're going to be wrong answer. Okay? All right.
Joe's up 1-0.
I'm up 1-0. Mike, I want you to tell me the two all-time leading point scorers in New York Rangers history.
All-time leading point scorers in Rangers history.
Correct.
Oh, my goodness. Howell, I think, is one. And son of a bee sting.
You're wrong on the first one. I will give you half a point, though, if you can guess the second one. It is a Rangers legend.
It is a Rangers...
Some would say the greatest Ranger of all time.
Some would say the greatest Rangers of all the times. Oh, man.
You're going to be mad at yourself.
It's not Rod Gilbert.
Well, Gilbert was first.
He was the top overall?
Number one.
Okay.
Brian Leetch is number two.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say Leetch. It's embarrassing. I mix up Gilbert and Howell a lot in my head, and there's no good reason to do it because they're not at all the same player.
Well, you know what? I'll give you half a point.
Oh, no, you don't have to give me half a point.
This is too friendly. Next question.
Next question for Joe. Name the last seven men to captain the Rangers.
Jesus Christ. Does it have to be in order, or can it just be?
No, just let them loose.
All right, McDonough.
Mm-hmm.
Callahan.
Yep.
Jágr.
Yep.
Messier.
Mm-hmm.
Leetch.
Very good.
All right, that's five.
That's five. You need two more.
Hoof.
Who was captain before Messier, and you missed a guy in the middle?
Between the two. All right, there was a captain before Messier.
There was Messier, Leetch, then Messier when Mess came back.
Correct. Then there has to be a kiss. So but if we're talking about between... So we're talking before Jágr.
Mm-hmm.
But after Messier.
But after Messier.
Well, I'm definitely not going to get the one before Messier.
You're not going to get the one before Messier? Okay.
I don't think so. Well, I don't even think I'm going to get the one between. I'm trying to even think of who it could be.
You definitely know this guy. I mean, this is relatively recent. You want a hint? I'll give you a hint.
Sure, I'll take a hint.
He's currently in a front office position with the New York Rangers.
Oh, Chris Drury.
There you go.
Okay.
Can you get the guy before Mess? Here's a real big hint. He also wore number 11.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to help me.
All right. It was Kelly Kissio.
Not even. I would have never guessed that. All right.
All right, my turn.
Dan Blackburn.
Scores 1-0 still. Dan Blackburn.
Our good friend Dan Blackburn, the goaltender. How many shutouts did he have in his career?
Oh, my Lord. In his career?
I will give you within two.
Within two. The real question is, how many games did he even freaking play? He also played for a terrible Rangers team.
I'm going to say he played about... I'm going to give you a hint. He played like 30 NHL games.
30? I'm going to say he had... one shutout.
You are absolutely nothing but net dead on.
Boom.
Against the Calgary Flames. It was a shutout that he lost.
A shutout he lost?
Yes, because they lost in the shootout.
Oh, here's the real question. Was that before or after he... No, because he never actually played.
After he was hurt, he was... Yeah, he never... like made a semi-comeback with the two blockers, but you just can't.
Yeah, the double blocker thing.
Yeah, you can't do it.
He had that, like... He had, like... nerve damage in his thumb that made it so he couldn't really operate or like close the glove hand properly.
Yeah, there was something. Yeah. There was something with that. All right, 1-1.
Oh yeah, I gotta ask you my next question. Let's see, Joe. Which two Rangers forwards? I'm already giving you a hint. It's forwards. Shared the team lead in giveaways last season.
All right, two forwards last season.
Shared the team lead in giveaways.
Would have to be somebody who played a lot.
That makes sense. That would make a lot of sense.
He was hurt. I'm just running this through in my head.
Running it through your sweet little brain.
would it matter that they were not there during after traded during the trade deadline? Probably. I'm going to say Hayes.
Hayes is correct.
Okay. That was a good guess. I'm feeling pretty good about that.
You got to feel good about that. You got to get a little frothy.
Kreider missed a ton of games because of his injury. So did Zibanejad. I don't think it's either of them.
Well, then who's it going to be, Joe?
Buchnevich, I don't think played enough, to be completely honest with you, to have that many giveaways.
Who's it going to be? Got to make a pick.
All right, I'm going to go Buchnevich.
Who's it been, Jad? And yeah, Hayes. Both with 63. Brady Shea, Brad Chase had 62.
Brad Chase.
Brad Chase.
All right. So it's 1-1 still. This isn't nearly as riveting as it is when Shane is cheating.
I have half a point. 1.5.4 points.
Mark Stahl was drafted what position overall?
I believe it was 12.
You are correct.
Oh!
Bonus point.
Okay.
What team did the Rangers trade the pick from?
Oh, I don't know that one.
The Atlanta Thrashers.
Thrashers?
Yeah, so when I was first looking it up because I wanted to ask that question, I thought it was San Jose. It's not San Jose. It was Atlanta.
There's...
Triple question. And this I will give you, just because it's going to be impossible to answer.
Okay.
When the New York Rangers made that trade with the Atlanta Thrashers, they swapped first-round draft picks. The Atlanta Thrashers drafted a player who the New York Rangers then traded for a couple of years later. Do you know who that player is?
Antropov?
No.
No.
And I actually don't even know who it is. I just know that it happened. I was trying to search it online, and it's not working.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's awful podcasting.
No.
2-1 you.
They traded Nigel Dawes to the Thrashers. I wonder who it is. Maybe, oh no, I don't know.
It's like Bordeaux or something.
Oh, I'm curious now. I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't want to delay the show by looking it up. Is it my turn to ask you a question?
Yes, it is.
This is a guest question from Shayna Minora Goldman. What were the numbers of the three roster players the Rangers acquired when they dealt Marion Gaborik to the Columbus Blue Jackets, Joe?
So the numbers of the players, like Brassard is 16, that's what you want to know?
Exactly that. And he is one of them. Boom.
Brassard is 16.
Yep.
Dorsett was 15.
Yep.
What was John Moore?
A question that Boston Bruins fans will be asking themselves for a couple of years.
I was going to say 22, but that's not right.
Are you feeling 22?
I really am feeling 22.
I don't know about you, but I'm feeling 22. I haven't felt 22 in a long time.
Well, you know, that's because you're what, 30?
Well, yeah, 32.
Yeah, so there you go. That's what it is, right there. Let's see. Hang on. I finally got the page up so that I can tell you who the pick was that they selected.
Andre
Alex Barrett.
Oh, I vaguely remember that.
Yes,
name.
The Rangers traded for him. I don't think he ever played with the Rangers. He had a couple of, I'm going to say, solid years with the Wolfpack. But yes, he was selected with the pick the Rangers traded. I don't know why. Like, that's a weird thing that I know. John Moore, what number was he?
I mean, it's now become clear to the audience that you are looking things up.
Yes, but I'm not looking that up. I'm going to say 22 just because that's what I was thinking, but it's wrong.
John Moore wore 17. So the guys wore 15, 16, 17. Isn't that fun, Joe?
And I couldn't even get it right.
Yep.
All right, this is what I would consider my super hard question.
Oh, son of a bitch.
What team drafted Peter Nedved?
Ooh, doggy. It is either Vancouver or Pittsburgh. And I believe the answer is shit. Because he has an amazing story. He actually represented Canada because he defected from Czechoslovakia during a juniors tournament, played in Canada because of, you know, communism. And I'm trying to remember where the hell...
You seem to know a lot of facts about him.
Yeah, he was one of my favorite Rangers during
That's why I asked this question.
Because yeah, it's either Vancouver or Pittsburgh. Is that right?
I'll give you a hint. One of those is correct.
Well, no shit, one of those is correct. Yeah, I don't know about you, Joe, but I'm feeling 22. The Rangers traded to acquire him from Pittsburgh. I know that much. And then they traded him, I believe, to Edmonton. I also know that. I'm going to say it was the Vancouver Canucks.
You are correct.
Oh!
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah.
I don't think I can win. I think I'm going to go 0 for 3 on trivia.
That's not true. You're such a sweet boy.
Give me the last question, you son of a bitch. Don't patronize me.
Name? This is also a guest question from Shayna Goldman. That's right. I brought in help. Name the 6 Rangers defenders who played in the season finale last season against the Philadelphia Flyboys on April 7th. So who were the 6 D in the lineup on that decimated blue line?
She loves the, like, long... I've gotten half of these questions, like, half of the question correct. All right. Pionk.
Pionk is one of them. Very good.
Shea.
Yep.
Gilmore.
Gilmore's correct.
O'Gara.
You need 2 more.
Yeah, but that's the problem. Who else could it have been that played...
We mentioned one of these guys earlier in the show.
On that disaster. Yeah. So, like, everybody got called up but Smith.
Yep. But you need another guy who was there for a lot of last year.
I need another guy who was there for... Oh, Stahl?
There you go. Now you just need that last random
last
guy.
One. Wow, it's
probably struggling.
Genuinely shocking that I forgot about Stahl.
Yeah, that was a surprise.
D'Angelo was hurt. Stahl,
trivia question for me.
McDonough was traded.
Mm-hmm.
Feel like it had to be a Hartford call-up.
You are correct, sir. But whom?
Yeah, who was on Hartford?
But who? I'll that give you a hint.
Sure.
He signed a PTO to play for a different team this past offseason, meaning his contract expired. The Rangers acquired him in a trade during last season.
The Rangers acquired him during a trade during last season.
And I don't know about you, but I'm feeling 22.
You're feeling 22? We got a good Taylor Swift vibe going here.
Believe
Damn it, this annoys me. Who could... Oh, all right. I'm not going to get it right because I don't remember his name, but I'm going to tell you who the player was.
Okay.
They traded for him from Detroit.
Yeah, you know who it is.
I do know who it is. What's his name?
Ryan Sproul.
Yes, Sproul.
Yeah, he's very easy to forget.
That blue line was atrocious.
Yeah, Gilmore, O'Gara, Pionk, Shea, Sproul, Stahl. Oh my God.
That was awful. And who knows, it may be worse this year. I'm giving myself the point for that. I lost 3-2.
No, I'm giving you that point. You knew who it was. You just didn't know.
I did. I just didn't remember his name.
I don't know. Was this too friendly, this trivia?
No, I thought this was good because we at least got some questions right and we weren't just sitting here mumbling like idiots.
Yeah.
So.
This was like tantamount to us cuddling by an open fire and like feeding each other grapes.
Just delicately. Romantic? Yeah, it could be romantic.
Like red grapes or green grapes, Jeff?
Oh, green. No, you know what? No, red.
How did you go from green to no, you know what, no, red?
Because like green grapes because they're tangier than red grapes.
Yeah, they're a little tangy.
But if I'm going to be fed grapes, I want sweet.
if
I'm feeding myself, I can handle the tang.
Okay.
I don't want you to just shove all the grapes in my mouth, and the next thing I know, there's like an acidic explosion in my mouth.
I appreciate that.
That's not happening.
If you're going to be fed grapes by like a pot-bellied satyr, you know, half goat man from Greek mythology, you want it to be red grapes.
You're goddamn right, I do. Okay, before we get into questions. Tonight's, because you're listening to this on Wednesday, probably roster. We're seeing Buchnevich again. We're seeing D'Angelo again.
Yeah.
We are not seeing Pionk again. For the first time, we're seeing Hájek, Howden, Hedl, and Keane. Who are you most excited to see?
Honestly, it's probably Howden because of how great he was at Traverse City. We all know
how I would agree with that.
Hedl was last preseason and how he shocked the world. I'm actually going to be at this game because someone I know, really nice guy, gave me tickets to it. But yeah, I'm excited. I'm also excited to see Joey Keane. I'm gonna shoot straight with you.
Joey Keane is like, it's bizarre. A few of the lesser known prospect people who like exclusively cover the OHL talk about Joey Keane like the steal of a century that the Rangers got him in the fourth round.
He is shooting up charts left, right, and center, and I'm here for it.
Yeah, I am 100% here for it. I thought he was spectacular, you know, in terms of his summer performance with the different junior teams and some of the international tournaments. So, yeah, I really want to get a good, like, here's how much he's rocketed up the draft board. I am more excited to see him than Hayek tomorrow, tonight, whatever, whenever you're listening to
really?
This.
Really? You know what? I'll say that, too, only because I think I have a very good idea of what Libor Hayek is going to be as, like, a solid but relatively unremarkable second pair defender that plays a two-way game, whereas Joey Keane, like, he's been playing so well of late that there's very good reason to be excited that he's really something special. And that's not to take away from what Libor Hayek's potential and his talents are, because obviously he can you know, hit another gear and, you know, rise up charts just like Hayek is doing. I mean, just like Joey Keane is doing. But yeah, Joey Keane is a really fun prospect to watch right now, and I'm really curious to see what he looks like playing against, you know, the Flyers, who we know have, you know, a prospect pool that rivals the Rangers, and most would agree is better than the Rangers right now, but that might not be the case maybe 2 or 3 years from now because of, you know, the two organizations are in different places, but a lot of good young guys on both teams, and especially on the blue line, I should say, because a lot of the Flyers' best prospects are defenders. So, yeah, I want to see both of them, but I agree with you. The guy I'm going to be keeping a really close eye on is Keane.
Joey, the man, Keane.
Keane and Howden.
Questions. Kevin, a.k.a. Uncle Kev, says, does Sean Day have a future with the New York Rangers? Well, Kevin, yes, I think he does. At least I don't want you to look at him being cut today as the Rangers giving up on him. I think they're very worried about making sure that they don't put too much on his plate. Michael?
It's much too early to read too much into him being among the first cut players. Just, you know, I'm not at all worried. I'm not going to say whether or not I think he's an NHL player yet, because I really, really want to see what he does at the AHL level. And like you said, Joe, he's a project. That's kind of what he is at this point. But he's also a project that has a lot of talent and unique skills that make him super duper intriguing. And the best thing we can really do is get an idea of what he looks like against near NHL talent, and the AHL is the right place for him. It is tough, though, Kevin, considering, like I said earlier, what the Rangers' prospect pool looks like on the blue line. It's going to be tough sledding for Day to really carve out a role for himself, and something to really keep an eye on, especially, you know, a year from now, is where he is in terms of, you know, that organizational depth chart, right? Like, you know, where does he wind up as a guy who can play the left side? He'll be 21 in January, and how many defensive prospects do the Rangers have who play the left side? It's a ton. So, yeah, not easy for Sean Day. We'll see what happens.
No, but you know what? If Sean Day turns into even a half of what he could be, he's going to make the team regardless of who's on there. It's just a matter of getting his head right and making sure that he's in the right space, and that doesn't... Please don't take that as his head is not in the right place. It's just... This is a guy that, you know, needs to grow into the role a little bit, and I think that's what the Rangers...
Yeah,
the Rangers are handling this the right way. He had a great overage year in the OHL last year. He looked fine at Traverse City. Let's let him do his thing.
Yeah, I'm not worried.
Next question. This guy asked two questions in one.
Okay.
Kyle Brandow. Just Yorkin 2020 is his handle. Do you think Quinn will effectively utilize both Pionk and Anthony DeAngelo if they both continue to look good, despite the likelihood that Smith, McQuaid, and Clayson are used? If they aren't, is that more on Quinn or Gordon? That's a those are two good questions. Let me answer the first question first. I think if Pionk and DeAngelo force the issue, I don't think it would be shocking to see them both make the team, at least up front. I do think the Rangers are going to move away from this, oh, let's just hold the guy in like the 7D role. I mean, Frederick Claesson definitely complicates things here as well. But if they both aren't used, it's not on Quinn. It's trading for McQuaid was on Gordon, and Gordon didn't have to do it. He didn't. There's really no need to make that trade, and he did. So if there's not enough room for them, yes, I think Quinn thinks he needs a guy like McQuaid in the lineup, but Gordon is the one that, you know, got him the toy to play with, so.
Yeah, there's a couple things to make note of here. The first being that Clayson, I feel like he's going to be the 7th D, or he's going to hit the waiver wire and end up in Hartford. He's 26 in November. He's a stay-at-home guy. He's relatively unremarkable. He has really, it's interesting, he's really good at preventing zone entries, but he also played a lot with Erik Karlsson in Ottawa last year, and he's a very physical guy, we got a look at that last night, and I don't know, he's not a guy who's going to move the needle for you in any way, shape, or form. Pionk can go through waivers and be assigned to the AHL, but of all these guys, I feel like he's the one who kind of deserves the longest leash in terms of what he has done for the team thus far, and where he is at this point in his career. DeAngelo will have to go through waivers, and that is, you know, I write about that in the piece that's going to come up today when you're listening to this, and that is a big factor at play here. As you know, Joe, it would be a goddamn nightmare if the Rangers don't have DeAngelo making the roster and they put him on waivers and he gets claimed, considering, you know, the price tag that was attached to him because of the Derek Stepan trade. That would be just a terrible mismanagement of an asset and a prospect. Even with all of the headaches off the ice and whatever the hell you want to say about DeAngelo, he's not someone you can lose for nothing. Especially before you really know what you have, which is, I think it's fair to say that's still the case. McQuaid, I feel like, is going to be either in the lineup or really play for that seventh spot, or he's going to cost Pionk or DeAngelo a spot, and that is the real question here, is how the hell does McQuaid impact this blue line, because the Rangers didn't give up a fourth round pick for a guy they're going to play in Hartford. That doesn't make any sense. Not in any way, shape, or form does that make a lick of sense. So yeah, I don't know. I'm really, really interested in seeing what the hell McQuaid looks like and what sort of role Quinn plays him in. That's the big question to me.
This is a hell of a question from Tom Ertz Jr., Blue Shirt Banterer. With William Nylander remaining unsigned, do you think there would have been a trade to be made had the Rangers kept McDonough? No, and here's why. McDonough would have been traded by now. That's my answer.
I like that answer.
He would have been traded at the deadline. Or not at the deadline, at the draft. And Nylander was not a concern at that point.
I like the question, too. It's a very good question.
It is a good question.
Yeah, that is a fascinating one to me. Nylander is obviously the biggest name in terms of guys who are RFAs. There's Nick Ritchie. There's Shea Theodore. Sam Reinhart is another very big name. It's coming off a 50-point season for Buffalo. And Miles Wood. We heard him mentioned on the MSG broadcast last night. He had 19 goals last season for the Devils. But Nylander is obviously the guy that we're talking about here. I think that McDonough would have went on the draft day, but then again, maybe Karlsson market would have spoiled that, Joe. It's hard to say. Like, these are like those Marvel what-if comic books where it's just, it's super fun to think about what could have happened, but you know, it also would have impacted, you know, Toronto is definitely had their eyes set on Tavares, right? So would they have wanted to have 1 year of McDonough, and how does that work with the rest of their cap? And I don't know, I'd have to look at all the numbers to really give a more sophisticated answer than the one I'm giving, but yeah, I would agree with you. I don't think it would have happened. Largely because...
Yeah, the timing just didn't work.
Yeah, the timing is not really lining up for that to shake out in a fun blockbuster deal where the Rangers get Nylander. And I want to make it clear, I want William Nylander bad, with a capital B. I'm not sure how it'll happen at this point beyond
a massive trade. I mean, listen, the trade is possible. Let's not kid ourselves here. They have a pretty serious issue.
Even now it's possible because, you know, the Leafs chose to sign Tavares for $11 million until the end of time. And of course they have to sign Austin Matthews till the end of time. And then they have Mitch Marner, who they want to sign until the end of time. And there's William Nylander, who's the RFA now. Both Matthews and Marner are RFAs next year. And if you look at what it looks like for the Leafs, I mean, they have Kadri signed for the next 4 years, and, you know, they have a couple of guys to build around. You know, Marlowe's there for the next 2 years. Hyman's there for the next 3 years. I'm looking at Cap Friendly, by the way. I don't memorize all
this. Oh, he knows this stuff.
It's going to be tough for them to find a way to make everyone fit, and that's the big story that's been kind of buzzing around Toronto really since they left the playoffs, right? It's how the hell do they fit it all together? I want to imagine that the Rangers could be involved in something for Nylander or Marner. Until we see a little more smoke, I'm not going to get excited. You know what I mean?
Oh, I 100% agree about that. Johnny Lowe.
Johnny Lowe.
The Sharks are heading down a very similar path to the Rangers from 2012 to 2016. I don't know if I see them extending Erik Karlsson. Do they have the cap room?
Wow, we're getting a lot of like salary cap related questions here, Joe. Thank the baby Jesus for capfriendly.com.
Yes. Well, what does it tell you?
Well, the fascinating thing with... I mean, let's make this clear. We haven't commented on it yet. Holy crap, did the Senators not get enough?
That's a tough question to answer, John, yeah. But we... Instead of answering it, we are going to talk about the fact that that trade makes the McDonough trade look so much better by comparison. The fact that Gordon was able to get what he got, considering that A, Karlsson was on the market in the first place, and I got to be honest with you, they have to be kicking themselves for not taking whatever the Vegas deal was at the deadline. No?
Oh.
Because you know what? This is another fantastic point that I want to make.
Especially because Vegas had a cache of draft picks, and that's what Ottawa needs. They didn't even get a guaranteed first for next year, and that's just a disaster.
We all talk about the fact that general managers don't want to sign other teams' players to restricted free agent contracts because they don't want to do damage to their reputation. They don't want to take, you know, they don't want to do damage to their reputation with other general managers. Yes, Kalen is on my lap. But Dorion got hosed by San Jose. They traded for Hoffman and then traded Hoffman back into the goddamn conference for double what they got from the Senators. And in the most important trade of his career, he went back to that same general manager that fucked him over so bad.
Don't use this language in front of
me. So I don't want to hear the fact that, they don't want to cause a bad relationship because they don't care. They just want to do what they think is best for the team. So sign Nylander to the offer sheet. What does it matter? Do it.
To answer the question, because it is a good question, I think there's three things in particular to keep in mind. Evander Kane, Logan Couture, and Tomas Hertl are all signed long-term. They're also all under 30 years old. Pavelski and Thornton are 34 and older. Joe Thornton's 39. They're both UFAs at the end of this year. Joe Thornton has $5 million on the cap. Pavelski has $6 million on the cap. The cap is going up. Obviously, Carlson is a guy who would demand, like, what, Joe? Like, north of $10 million easily on the market.
I could maybe easily see Carlson getting as much as $13 million.
Yeah, 11, 12, 13 million a year.
14, so, 15, 16.
Yeah, we're talking the Thornton and Pavelski cap hits combined, but also keep in mind the cap is going up. Is there room for Carlson? The short answer is, if the Sharks really want it, they can make it happen. And I don't think they're going to know if they really want it until they see what Carlson does to this team. Thornton's 39, as I said. Pavelski's 34. They love Joe Pavelski in San Jose. He's their captain. But, I mean, you're willing to move stuff around. They can also move, you know, Justin Braun or Brendan Dillon and free up some more cap space because now there's a ton of money locked up in that blue line. And yeah, if they want it to happen, they'll make it happen, is the short answer. It's just a question of what it will cost. And we've seen this a lot with other teams. You know, we've seen it happen with Pittsburgh and Chicago and, you know, the Kings to some extent. These teams that really, you know, swing for the fences in free agency. And then they end up, or, you know, they lock up all their guys to long-term deals. And before they know it, they are pressed against the cap when they have to figure out a way to not just become a team that has two lines and, you know, like the Capitals were, they won a cup this way, but their fourth line was a bunch of, like, you know, just kind of scrubs that were guys who were cast away from other teams.
I don't want no scrub. Yeah, scrub is a guy that can't get no love from me.
And Alex Chason, Devontae Smith-Pelly, you know, they all did great, but yeah, it's one way to win. It's one way to win and build your team. And I think if the Sharks have a blue line with Vlasic, Burns, and Carlson, they would be open to doing that because, holy crap, that top three.
Yeah, how do you not? Next question. I am Pi Fieri. Maybe the best.
Pi, P-I-E.
Would it be more preferable to have both Lias and Hedel make the team out of camp, have them both start in Hartford, or have one here as a 3LC? I don't know what that, I guess, third line center.
Third
and the other center at the top of the line in Hartford. My answer to this is I don't care what's good for the team, and I don't think the Rangers do either. I think the Rangers are going to do what's right for each individual player, and that's the way that this needs to be looked at. Because this year is a throwaway anyway. It's going to be what's best for both of them.
Joe Quinn wants to win every single game.
Of course he does. Because if he does, he'll win the Stanley Cup.
Every single game.
I personally, I think Keto's making the team. He's too good not to. I think if Anderson keeps playing the way he's playing, he's making the team. It's just a matter of figuring out how to fit them. That's all.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I feel like it's, you know, if they have to put someone on waivers they weren't necessarily thinking, but Anderson's playing the way he's playing, then, you know, waivers be damned. They want the kids there.
Be damned. And
especially, like, Anderson and Jesper Fast, I can watch that all season long. And if Quinn continues to be a guy who, you know, looks like he wants to give the guys, you know, in the bottom half of his forward group, you know, that third and fourth line, obviously we talked about, you know, the ice time with Lindqvist and McLeod and how they didn't see much of a role, but they are trying to focus on evaluating guys like Anderson, which is why he played nearly 20 minutes. Against the Devils. And yeah, that's what I want to see, is Anderson get the sort of look that he's gotten so far. If all things being equal, if like you had to make the call now, I would say I'd rather do, you know, one guy is 3C, one guy is the top line center in Hartford. And the reason for that being that I think it comes down to ice time and development. I don't know what to make of Keith McCambridge just yet in Hartford, but I do think it's important to understand, like, this is a very fluid situation. Trying to find a way to get these guys the ice time and develop them, and to keep in mind, you know, their contracts and everything else. The best thing for these guys is whatever gives them the best opportunity to develop. And the real question is, where is that? Is that as a third-line center with the Rangers, a fourth-line center with the Rangers, a first-line center in Hartford? And honestly, it'll be, I think those are different answers you get when you ask, you know, when you're asking that question for Hedel and Anderson. Because I think we would both agree that Hedl on the fourth line as the center would just be kind of a waste. It doesn't make a lot of sense. It would make a lot more sense if he doesn't. Yeah, I'd rather him be the first line center in Hartford than the fourth line center in New York. Whereas Anderson, I don't really mind him as the fourth line center in New York, especially if he's on a line that is viewed as like the checking line and is killing penalties and all that good stuff.
Yeah, it just depends on how he's used, to be completely honest with you. Yeah, we don't know the answer to that question yet.
And we don't know who Quinn really is yet. We have one game, and like I said, he didn't play Lindquist for a whole period as far as we know, and you know, that may or may not be true. Might have been a box score goof, but the other thing is, you know, he used his enforcer seldomly, and he definitely gave guys an opportunity to keep playing when they made mistakes, and yeah, we're still figuring out who
the... We haven't seen that in 5 years.
My God.
I'm a whippersnapper. Wow. Jeff, can McQuaid make it so McLeod does not have a roster spot? I don't think so. No, Kalen is not happy with that question.
Doesn't like either of these
guys. I think they're two different roster spots. I think McLeod is going to play regardless, but I think McQuaid will make McLeod play less, if that makes sense.
Well, to me, I feel like Cody McLeod would have to have like 5 goals in preseason to make the opening night roster. He's going to be there as the 13th or 14th forward or whatever the hell you want to call him. He's going to be with the team, but he's going to be plugged in, you know, when the Rangers feel like they need a spark or however the hell you want to say it. And again, I don't really know if Quinn has a lot of time for that kind of role or that kind of guy. It's hard to say. I know we've said this, we answered this way with our last question, but it is important to kind of emphasize this, is that we're trying to figure out what his tendencies are, what his philosophy looks like, because, folks, it's a little tricky to evaluate an NCAA head coach when it comes to something like the deployment and belief in the philosophy of an enforcer. It's not really something that's prevalent in college hockey. So with that being said, I feel like it is related in some way, McQuaid and McLeod, because they both play a similar game, but they are different positions. And, you know, if McQuaid is up with the team, do the Rangers really need McLeod? Does that mean he hits waivers? I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up on
it. I think there's a sense that McQuaid can actually play and be an enforcer, where McLeod is only the enforcer.
Yeah, whereas McLeod blows a defensive assignment for the Devils' goal. Yeah.
Well, you know, that is, it is what it is.
Back-checking, folks.
Alex Gardner, Alexander Ricard, Armael Kistner, Andre Chicagoff, Anthony Viola, Arch Williams, Bob Kawa, Chris B., Chris Habibi, Dan Carozzi, Daniel DeGem, Danny Santiago, David L. Singer, Eric Cohn, Fancy Lawrence, Gabriel Vargas, 50, Grumpy Smokey, Igor Zatlovsky, James Dangles, John J. Porter, John Reppy, Johnny Alo, Keith Franchillo, Matt Bader, Guy from Montana, Michael Silvers, Mike Offit, Robert Courtney, Stink Fleeman, Tall Guy Robert, Thomas Osa, and Trevor Kempner. And then Zachary Zetlin, not to be confused with Kalen crying.
Anthony Viola is my favorite.
Tall Guy Robert's a great... And Fancy Lawrence, they're amazing. They're amazing
Fancy
names.
Fancy Lawrence is great.
Thank you all for donating. Patreon.com/blueshirtbanter.
It's going to be okay, Kalen. Hang in there.
Yeah, we're at the end, sweetheart. It's okay. You have to ruin every podcast now. It's ridiculous.
She's not ruined. She just wants more Rangers hockey. And she wants
you're gonna get
her
it.
Teeth are hurting her gums.
She does. She has two. Her front two teeth are coming in. I want to thank Michael for joining me. And I apologize for my daughter at the end. And we will be back next week.
Goodbye, everybody.
Love you all.